ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome. It is the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls. Give my mic a little adjustment here. Drew at the controls and our good buddy Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer hanging out with us in the studio.
You think Bill's going to be mad at me that I'm in his chair?
No, you know, we've had, I think that the substitute teachers are allowed to sit in Bill's chair. When he's not in the studio. Don Dunn used the Bill chair yesterday.
I was in Bill's chair last week, yeah. Last Friday, when it was just the two of us.
Yeah, so it's I allow it, you know, to keep you know, I like my little corner over here. So, but anyways, and we should check in with the big enchilada, Bill Cameron, at some point from Cameron Estates. He's using the home studio today, and he can chime in after his procedure earlier this week. We were able to see a lot of practice. In fact,
oh, yeah,
the entire thing pretty much was made available to the media earlier today for Auburn football. And Justin, you had quite a few observations that you shared with your subscribers earlier today after another really interesting day full of competition. And it's not difficult at all to share quite a few of the things, you know, from different spots on the field. So we'll get your thoughts from not just today, but the last week or so of Auburn football practice as Auburn gets ready for tomorrow's first scrimmage of the preseason. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Any particular position of interest or player that you'd like to hear more about? Justin's been at practice. I mean, you've been to all the availabilities, right?
Yep.
This I couldn't make it Monday, but I've been to the rest of them, and yeah, if you got any questions or you're curious about a position group or a player, you know, we'd love to pass along what we know. Bill Cameron has, I know you've been consuming as much of this analysis as you can while you work through the PT and try to get off of the injured list. Bill, are you there with us? Can you hear?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I got you. And I was going to say, you know, it sounds like what we were talking about yesterday, where no coach is going to be thrilled and teams are going to have their bad days, sounded like the team did what Hugh Freeze and his staff wanted them to do, and that's respond today.
I think there was a no-nonsense approach at times from Hugh Freeze today not that he's always Mayor McCheese walking around out there on the practice field. But Justin, you wrote about the Perry Thompson thing, which is, you know, I wanted to start the podcast we just recorded, you know, talking about not, you know, and it's not just one incident, but the fact that Hugh Freeze, after seeing Perry Thompson and Marcus sort of disagree about Perry's performance in a drill, Hugh Freeze came over and gave, you know, Bill, I would say several minutes of pointed, direct instruction to Perry Thompson. They had an intense conversation where Perry did a lot of listening, and then I thought you saw Perry Thompson bounce back with a really strong finish to practice, and then Perry Thompson had some interesting things to say to the media after that. But I thought that was a little bit of a, like, if you were looking for a personification of Hugh Freeze's frustration from yesterday's press conference there on the field today, it was when he needed to, like, it was about as direct, I'd say, aside from maybe seeing Hugh Freeze.
I wouldn't even go that far.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't even go that far. Like you said that earlier, and it's just like, I don't even know if I remember it being that sustained and that, I don't know, animated.
I thought maybe Robbie or Peyton at some point.
But even then, like, in a game when, like, something, but this was at practice, this was several minutes, this was take the headset off, pull off the side, and then stay on it. Like, stay on it was the other thing as well. And we talked about it, and, like, to Perry's credit, he learned from that after, you know, afterwards. I thought he had a pretty good practice, made some good plays after afterwards. And then we got to talk to him after practice, and he was open. He said, "Yeah, you know what? Like, I got chewed out, and you know, coach is telling me I got to hold myself to a higher standard, and I wasn't doing that. And people have expectations of me, and heading and into this season, and I have to do that. Yeah,
he has expectations.
I have to be better, and you know, like Bill, it's like." That's my thing with Perry Thompson that we've heard really since he's got at Auburn. He's got a ton of talent. He's got a ton of ability. You keep hearing, though, coaching staff, like since he's gotten here, wanting to find that consistency,
right,
taking that next step. And who knows, maybe today could have gone a long way in getting there.
Yeah, I mean, you want to keep the fire burning. I mean, there's no question, because he's got the ability. There's no question about that. That's great to hear how he responded. And then, I read the comments as well, and I thought, That's nothing but good news there. So in a day where I guess most folks feel like the defense had the upper hand, though, it sounded like Jackson Arnold had a pretty good day.
Yeah, I thought this was Jackson Arnold's best day since he's gotten to Auburn, at least from what I was able to see. I didn't get to see all of spring practice this year, obviously, with basketball going on, but I was really impressed with him today. His ball placement was spot on. I thought he made good decisions. He had some throws that – were pretty impressive the way that he pushed the ball down the field, put it to where only his guy could get it. It looked more of on a more consistent basis. You know, I think, Bill, what have been able to see so far this preseason, you'll see flashes. You want to see more consistency. I think it was sustained stretches of, okay, this is good high-level quarterback play that you're going to need in this offense. And, you know, Hugh talked about it Wednesday in his press conference. He's been very pleased with the progress of Jackson Arnold. We got to see a lot more of that on Thursday.
Would you also say probably more separation between Jackson and the other guys
than there had been? Yes, tough day for Deuce throwing the ball. But, again, I think he's a freshman, and he's a freshman that's right on the raw, and he's going to have days like this that where it's going to be tough. Like, he had a stretch where he was just – you could tell he was frustrated with himself with the way the ball was going. And then – it's just I think his arm talent's a step up from what you see from Ashton Daniels, even at Ashton Daniels' best. And I thought Ashton looked good at times, and he has in camp. But you could tell, okay, you line them all up there and say, okay, which one of these guys is the former five-star that's played before? And you could, like, really tell that was Jackson Arnold.
Bill, I thought it was clear when when they did some red zone stuff at the end. Like, that's when it felt like, you know, it was more – consistently advantage defense than necessarily in the one-on-one drills or in some of the skeleton stuff we saw before that. There was, you know, when Auburn's offense got out there and tried to run the ball, right there, you know, the defense seemed to have the edge a lot. I know some folks are expressing some concern about that, because running the ball in the red zone was a problem for Auburn last year. You know, we talked about that on the podcast, and you know, I thought, like, while it's a totally valid concern, I did point out maybe the fact that Jackson Arnold's scrambling is neutralized in a practice situation, maybe that's part of, like, you know, that's an important weapon in Auburn's red zone attack that they can't really feature. I know they let Jackson scramble a little bit in the red zone stuff that they did today, but by and large, that's not really something the defense has to worry about in a simulation.
No, and the other thing I think you'd be a little worried if you were able to just line up and run right at the first string defense and be able to score. I like the fact that it was ones versus ones and two versus twos.
Yes, I thought that was the other thing, is just like you're seeing a lot of good on good, and again, I think especially with the defense, with the amount of mixing and matching and rotating that DJ Durkin is doing on that side of the ball, they're able to really flex the fact that you can look at a second team defense out there, and you'll find some guys you're like, man, you would expect them to play some key roles for this team this year,
especially with no Riddick today, with Riddick in the yellow jersey. Like, it was, I thought
my thing with Riddick, by the way, just real quick, like, I wonder how much this could end up, if Riddick's able to be healthy in time at the start of season, I wonder how much this can end up being kind of a blessing in disguise for Auburn, that they've been able to get so many other guys at inside linebacker a lot of reps, and you're seeing today Xavier Atkins, Bryce Diaz had a really good day. I mean, just so many different dudes who are out there and getting those reps that, you know, Riddick will likely play if he's fully healthy this season, but they need to find more guys, and they're getting a lot of opportunities to see that.
The long view would, you know, maybe even the injuries to Damari and Jeremiah, early on could be beneficial too, because it gave more opportunities to guys that were brand new at running back. And Jeremiah and Dermari have both been through a couple of camps before in their career. I think that's an interesting point. But Bill, when you take Riddick out of the equation and you're willing to run, weren't there times, Justin, where they were running Blockton and Keldrick, mm-hmm, with guys that were otherwise second teamers per se? And it's like, if you're doing that, there doesn't seem to be a ton of difference between the first front seven and the second, because of the number of guys that they're willing to sort of have in the rotation. And it's going to be decided who's out there first and who's out there in the most crucial moments.
Yeah, I think that's a good sign again of the depth that has been built there on the defensive side of the ball. And, we've been talking about it, and you guys have as well. I mean, just looking at the numbers now on all three levels defensively and really all across this team, where is there an area that you feel like Auburn may have some depth problems? Maybe tight end, but how much is the tight end going to be used this year?
Yeah, that's why I asked Freeze about the tight end specifically yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you felt like he likes what – Preston's doing here in preseason. But yeah, depth I don't think is going to be a real issue, especially you've seen as many defensive tackles and inside linebackers step up here in the spring, in this preseason camp. Safety I think is another area where we might have had to, okay, let's see who could emerge. I feel like they're feeling good about that. It's not depth to me. I think my big question about this team is not an area of depth. It's just an area of execution and just overall play with the running game. It's just the running game is still going to be, I think, a major work in progress. Some of that may have to do with the fact that Auburn's run defense continued to be pretty good. It was last season. But, it's kind of like the red zone drill today when the defense won consistently. One of the things you can look at is say last year Auburn really struggled running the ball in the red zone. They're struggling to run the ball in the red zone against their own defense. Their defense was good, but they're going to face good defenses at that. And that to me is the big question mark for this team heading in. You still have it in other areas, but right now, I mean, I said it earlier today, Bill, I don't know how much we're going to know about Auburn's running game before the Baylor game until it gets
right
there. I just there's way too many variables.
And that includes personnel. Like that includes like not necessarily knowing how many players could be in the rotation and how they're going to be deployed. Yeah, I think that's a total wild card. That's likely a total wild card leading into. And then there's the added X factor of Jackson Arnold's ability to run as well. So I mean, you have a bunch of variables, a bunch of X factors in Auburn's run game going into the beginning of the season. And I think the offensive line's ability to generate a push is going to be one of the among those questions as well. You have three guys back from last year. Feels like the tackles. What's the sense there, Justin? That the tackles have gotten it's become more steady as those guys have been able to gain more time. Chaplin and Mason, like those are a really important addition.
Those guys have been consistently, first team. You don't ever see any kind of mix. And the interesting thing is we talked to Tutal Miller after practice today. Tutal you may be seeing Tutal as much at guard as you do at tackle right now with the ones just getting him ready. They want him to be the sixth man. But I do think, since the start of camp, they have felt really solid about Chaplin and Murphy. I think in pass pro, those guys are hanging out really well. It's just – That group as a unit has a ways to go with run blocking, and it makes sense. You got to operate as one. You didn't have that in the spring with Lou out and with Chaplin out, and so I think it's a work in progress.
Bill, I would say the buzziest players from today, another day where folks are talking about Juice. Juice Diaz and the work he's doing at linebacker.
Yeah, he had a good day, had some really good plays. I think my coming off the field, it's Jake Crawford. I think Jay Crawford had one of the best looking days for a cornerback we've seen at Auburn, in a practice day. Like, he was all over the place, like battling some of the very best on this team. And, we talk about Kay and Lee and Jay Crawford and that combo. Like, I think Jay Crawford has stepped up to where it is like you have got two top-level SEC corners potentially out there this year. And you've got that extra depth. But the light is really coming on for Jared. He played well last season. He looks like a guy who's been doing this for a long time this season.
Well, he is, and as you said, he's been doing it against some of the best that Auburn has, which is some of the best that, that Auburn is going to see. So I think that's great. I mean, the talent that there is in the secondary is phenomenal when you look at, you know, what we saw Rayon Strader, and man, it really it hurts literally not to have been able to see practice this week, but what we saw Strader do last week, and then reports of Rayshon Pleasant stepping up and playing well along with all the other guys. I mean, they have a luxury of riches back there in the secondary.
Yeah, I love the way Crawford's built on his game from last year, and he was one of the players when I asked Coach Freeze about second-year players that had really made the most of this offseason. You know, Perry and Malcolm were the first names he said. And you mentioned their route running, but he talked about the different, you know, the different Jay Crawford that Auburn has gotten this year, and it's a guy that played and played well last season. And for him to have taken a step forward virtually everywhere in his game, Bill, he's got. I keep coming up with like jobs where you need lightning quick reflexes, right? You know, a hockey goalie, gunfighter. Like that, you know, these are, you know, Jay Crawford has.
Don't see those jobs in the paper or on the in the want.
No,
know, in the classified.
You don't meet. Yeah, you don't meet a lot of real old gunfighters either, right?
Like that's not true.
That's not a job where. But I know Jay Crawford is somebody who's got like he's got that kind of skill, and he's certainly been one of the buzzier players. How about this, Justin? What about Amaris? Like I would
he's doing really well.
You know, another guy who seemingly
got to watch out for that wrist. He had it braced up earlier this week. It was taped up today. He is continuing to make some really, really good plays. I like that defensive front a lot. I thought Chris Murray had a good day of practice as well. Got to talk to him afterwards. It's the first time I've been able to talk to Chris and was pretty impressed with him. So the defense is just so much speed. It is so much speed up front. And a lot of depth. And I think Auburn's offense has the potential to be better this season. I think the passing game is progressing in a way they want to. So the running game is just a question. And, I think it's going to be one that we're going to the first month of the season, I think, is going to be we're going to learn a lot about that crew.
Guys, yeah, I'm
– How you feeling, Bill?
It's starting to bite back a little bit. So,
right. Bill's brushing up against the pitch count.
I'm telling you. I think I may have gone one or two long. So, the fact that both of you guys were there at practice today, that's great. I'm looking forward to it. I'll try to listen here as I take a little something.
All right, fantastic, Bill. Take it easy. Bill Cameron will be back on the show again soon, recovering from his procedure earlier this week. He'll tell us all about it when he's back in the studio. But in the meantime, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer hanging out with us. Drew at the controls. I'm Dan Peck. This is The Drive on ESPN 106.7. Love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline presented by Skybar. You can text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Drew at the controls. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer hanging out with us, breaking down the last week or so of Auburn football practice. Justin, I know you mentioned on the podcast that the Observer has picked up a little bit of momentum over the last few weeks.
Yeah, we're running a special right now, as we usually do here in the preseason. I think a lot of people are excited about camp, and we've got a ton of access, you know, all practice today, all practice last Saturday, long, viewing windows in these other days of practice. I think we've only had two or three practices where we didn't get to see anything at all. And then a ton of player interviews. And we've talked to Hugh Freeze a few times as well. So it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of information. And if you want to keep up with all of it, auburnobserver.com. Check it out there. We're running that special. It is $4 a month or $40 for your first year of the Observer. We're running that until kickoff of the Baylor game. And a lot of people jumping on board. We've gotten a ton of growth here in these last, I guess, week and a half at this point, which is really, really cool to see. I think people are excited. And, like we were saying on the podcast earlier, Dan, it all goes back to the fact that we get this access and we get so much information that we get to share with you guys. And so I think the thing with the Observer that we do is that, we go to a day of practice like today, and you get it all right there in one newsletter. If you sign up, it goes straight to your email inbox. You can read it. And everything we gathered from practice is right there. You don't have to click a bunch of different links, a bunch of different stories or all
it's
that.
It's not a listicle.
It's a one-stop shop. Yeah. Now, I did do a listicle this week. We put our heads together.
But you didn't have to click through every single one of them.
Yeah, we didn't have to do
them.
That.
That's just a list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I feel like
listicle is a list article. But anyway. AuburnObserver.com, sign up there. And like I said, everything we do gets sent straight to your email inbox when you sign up. It's a great time to do so. And got practice observations from Monday and today up on the site. Dan and I put our heads together and came up with a list of our players who have impressed us the most so far in camp. We had that earlier this week.
Yeah, I had to send mine to Justin while on the tarmac on Tuesday, and I didn't want Justin to have to wait till I landed. It's time sensitive stuff, Justin was able to.
Hugh Freeze press conference notes, and then if you subscribe, let's say you subscribe today, early in the morning tomorrow, in your inbox and in your podcast app, you will get Dan and I talking a lot of football. And a little basketball. We broke down the SEC basketball schedule for Auburn basketball as well, so that was a lot of fun. So
yeah,
check that out.
We may talk a little bit about the Auburn basketball schedule on today's
show. I feel like that's a good segment at some point in today's show.
As well, but no, I was struck by, and you weren't the only one, like two players that, it feels like there's a consensus, and it's good news if you're an Auburn fan, like two players where there was really strong buzz coming out of camp. Not just today, but the last few days, but especially today. You mentioned Jackson Arnold. You mentioned Jay Crawford. Like those are, I think for Auburn, like those are two super high ceiling players. And the thought that you're getting, you're getting them trending in the right direction with the season coming in a couple of weeks.
I saw another one on there, and I don't know if we talked about this play on the podcast. Eric Singleton.
Yeah.
The reverse in the field.
Yes.
Play. Off the screen was one of the better plays I've seen at practice this year.
I was watching that play with Rosie, and there was some question of whether or not a quarterback in an orange jersey should be allowed to throw blocks when
he just kind of got in the way.
Jackson was sort of leading the charge on the other side of the field, and it's like, well, wait a minute, you're not.
But Singleton coming up with that out of nowhere was wild.
He's and the word I sent to you was smooth. Like he is. Eric Singleton.
Smooth and fast, though.
Yes, absolutely. But, but smooth in a way where it's deceptive. The fact that he's, he is somebody moving at that kind of speed. The play that folks were talking about today where, maybe it was a touchdown in the end zone.
Ruled it a touchdown.
I ruled it a touchdown. I was unofficially, one of the closest to the play, and I thought Singleton did enough to bring it in. Could have maybe been out of bounds, but it's close. But he secured a ball that deflected off the defender, and he came up with it. But he is he is difficult to match step for step, and he's another player where you're getting some of these guys, the expectation's a little different because they've produced at the Big 12 level or the SEC level or the ACC level before. Singleton certainly is one of those players, and he's been great. I'll tell you the receiver that impressed me today, Justin, and I've been more impressed with him as preseason practice goes on, is Horatio. Like I'll throw Horatio Fields out there as someone who, and there's probably more interest externally in Perry because he was such a huge recruit. And this is such a big offseason for him. But Horatio and Perry feel like they're battling at that spot.
And I think there's room in this offense for both of them. I will say this about Horatio Fields, and I wrote about him in a little more detail earlier this week at the Observer. You can check out. He's got some of the best hands I've seen from an Auburn receiver. And he is one of those kids who is very dedicated to his craft. There are guys who can roll out of bed and give you incredible catches. It's just what they're born with. I don't know, I'd say Horatio's not a good athlete. He's got good athleticism and all that. The thing about Horatio is that he, and his game reflects it, he's got a very technique sound, like, minded type of playing style. He talked about it earlier this week. When he is at practice, when he's outside of practice, he's trying to be on the jugs machine as much as possible. He was talking about being in the training room and being on the balance board catching balls, like the little ball that you have to kind of stand on with the little platform, doing that. And today, I don't know if you saw this, if you were over there with us when they were on the jugs machine on steroids. When you're watching them,
it's like from the batting cages. It's like an old school. It's an old pitching machine,
but it's big.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a computerized jugs machine. Yeah. Got a joystick.
Yeah,
and I'm afraid to share like proprietary information about this.
It's cool.
It's got a whole.
I will say though about it when you watch him. So they're going on the Monarch, and it's a lot of like guy gets in and he just catches from different angles and different positions, and it's a line only one at a time. Off to the side when other guys are going, you saw Horatio Fields have – it was him and either an assistant or a manager or somebody, and they were all working on hand fighting and just, like, using your physicality to the point where he was doing that so much, Sam Turner came over and started doing some of the same stuff. And I think that's a good – like, last season at Wake Forest, Horatio Fields had an incredible catch rate, very, very low drops at Wake Forest, and – his contested catches would have been the most by any Auburn receiver in the last decade, you know, for a single season. I think he is a guy that is going to make some plays that is going to impress people this year, and he's had a great preseason. I called him a high-floor guy coming into preseason camp. I still think he's a very high-floor guy. I think his ceiling is even higher than I thought it was coming in.
And I think he could be one of the reasons, if Auburn is better in the red zone this year, I think having a player like Horatio Fields.
How about this? If Auburn was playing tonight, first group on the field at wide receiver is going to be Cam Coleman, Horatio Fields, and Eric Singleton.
Yep.
Not to take anything away from Perry Thompson. You know, Malcolm Simmons wasn't there today. But you know, you got Bryce Kane, Sam Turner, some of these guys who can make
Duke Smith physically very
impressive. Duke Smith looks ready. Eric Smith looks good.
Yeah,
you got all those guys out there. But I think that top three, that is a good three. You've got a blend of experience, and like with Cam, I'll make this point: with Cam, Eric Singleton, and Horatio Fields all in the field at the same time, top those three receivers. There aren't going to be very many Power 5 trios of receivers who have as much production from last season coming back this year.
Yeah, and granted, like two of those guys were on
different
teams, but you're absolutely right. Like those are three. That's one of the more proven top threes.
Those are three. And then when you start looking back, and it's like that next wave are more unproven guys. And Malcolm played a good bit last season, but it's more unproven guys. Guys like. That's how you build. It reminds me in a similar fashion to the secondary, where you have established guys and you have guys making that move and you have young guys as well. It's a good blend to have.
Be curious to know, you know, how many teams have a number four receiver who was Perry Thompson coming out of high school, right? I mean, there's Malcolm Simmons
who was Auburn's number three receiver last year.
You mentioned, and I know we got to take a break, but you mentioned Horatio's hands. It's amazing to me when he's on the Monarch how easy he makes that look. And then someone who is newer to college football or not as skilled as Horatio goes out there, and you realize how difficult what they're trying to do really is. I thought one of Jackson's best moments today was the rollout, and he looks around, he deliberately looked elsewhere, and then found an open Horatio in the back of the end zone. And I thought that was, I mean.
It was a great throw.
And it was, yeah.
Looking off a defender, going through his progressions.
Through traffic, but not risky because he had an open man. A throw. But I'll tell you what, a throw that if you lollipop it, then.
If you don't have some zip behind it, it is six the other way.
I mean, multiple players have the opportunity. Like, if you don't make an NFL throw there, multiple players have an opportunity at it. But if you make the right throw, it's going right to Horatio, and no one's got the chance. And Jackson Arnold put it right where it needed to be. 334-321-1390 is the number to dial. Dan Peck, Justin Ferguson, hanging out in the studio. Drew at the controls. We'll be back with more. This is The Drive.
Back on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Justin Ferguson hanging out with us. He's been at practice all week helping preview Auburn football. Talked a lot of Auburn football in the first couple of segments. Bill Cameron was on in the first segment. And if you missed any of that, check out the podcast, which should be up later today, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Justin, you mentioned that we got some basketball news this week. The SEC schedule was, I don't want to say it was finalized, because there are a lot of there's a lot of oars in there with the midweek.
We know what order they're going to play and roughly when they're going to play.
We know the Saturday games, and we know the midweek games, but the midweek games could be Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on ESPN's broadcast decisions. But we talked about a little bit on the Observer podcast we just recorded. Love to get your thoughts on the things that really stand out to you from this schedule.
Yeah, I think the thing with this schedule is it's pretty favorable. I like it. It's going to be tough. Any schedule is going to be tough no matter what. I thought Auburn had a pretty good manageable schedule last season, and it helped them win the title. This season, I think it's not overly treacherous. There's a lot of good teams there. There's a stretch that's going to be tough, like really tough to get through. But I like how a lot of the games are spaced out. I think they got a couple of breaks, the biggest one being right before they play Alabama for the first time. They will be off that midweek, which is a good time to have that break coming off of Tennessee trip, coming off their toughest stretch of SEC play. It is a good, balanced, pretty favorable schedule, I think, for Auburn to, you know, get some momentum and make some noise this season in it with a new roster.
I believe Auburn could be favored a long time between now and the first week of January, but I think Auburn could be favored in its first five.
If you could pick up that momentum there and be playing some really good basketball at that point with some wins before you hit that stretch where there's that five game stretch where it's help me out here.
So you open at Georgia, A&M at home, Arkansas at home, at Missouri, South Carolina at home.
I think Auburn could be favored in all.
You could be favored in all five of those. Then you go to Ole Miss for a midweek game.
This is
game,
where the stretch starts,
and those are your first six. Your seventh game is at Florida. And so I think you have a chance to look like one of the best teams in the SEC when you go to Gainesville.
Yep.
That's as tough a game as like.
And to have a third of your SEC schedule done with before you play Florida, I think is big. Before you play Tennessee, before you play Alabama.
And you could be a very confident team going to Florida based on the way you're playing.
They have that stretch. It's like Ole Miss, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Alabama right there in a row. That five-game stretch. I feel like you were saying that first five, you could be favored in all of those. The next five, I think if Auburn goes 3-2 or better in there, it is a huge success because that is some treachery right there.
Florida at Florida is on paper one of the three or four toughest road games you could play in college basketball this year is how I would probably describe it. I think that has the
potential to be the toughest game Auburn plays all year. That or playing Purdue and Indy.
Sure. I think
on paper, right?
A lot of folks love Michigan. I know a lot. There's a lot.
But you're playing Michigan in Vegas in a weird format.
Second day that you both have
this
played.
This is a true road game against the defending national champion. Yep. Period. Purdue is going to be the other one because Purdue might be some people's preseason number one and number two, and you're playing them in their home state.
Sure, I think that's absolutely right. And so you've got I think that the schedule leading up to Florida is favorable, even though there's a road game against Ole Miss. There's also a road game against Missouri in there. Arkansas is going to be a trendy team. They're coming to Neville Arena. But you've got a chance there in January, you know, before that Florida game to pick up some momentum. The stretch that really stood out to me when I first saw this, I think, begins. I mean, you can even use Tennessee, but there's a bye week in there. But that at Tennessee, Alabama at home, Vanderbilt, and this is the stretch that begins January 31st. At Tennessee, Alabama at home, Vanderbilt at home, at Arkansas, at Mississippi State, Kentucky at home. That is a six-game stretch where you've got six tournament teams preseason, and three of them on the road. And the three teams you play at home, Alabama, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky, will all enter the season with some serious buzz. I mean, that is a six-game stretch that gets you ready for the post. Like, you will know exactly what you are and where you stand. That's a championship stretch for Auburn to begin the month of February. The Tennessee game is January 31st. But there is that is a challenging stretch where Bruce and his staff are gonna. I mean, this is gonna be that's gut check time.
Yep.
Like that's what are you made of? How good can you be? Those are games that they'll decide most likely if you're a serious SEC championship contender.
Correct.
And those are games that will, like, if you make a tournament run, you'll cite that stretch where you had to face multiple NCAA tournament teams in a row without a break. You'll cite that as a reason why you were able to get it rolling. And that starts, and again, without really knowing what Texas is. Like that Texas game at home between Florida and Tennessee feels really important because you got two tough road games sandwiched on either side. But that's I think Auburn for a new look team, it's
a good way to set up. And then, like I was saying it earlier, the second Bama game, right, the finale when you go to Tuscaloosa, you play LSU right before that. Like it's just it sets up to find some momentum, some learning a lot about yourselves. It's not backloaded, so you're worried how you're going into March. It's probably more front-loaded than it is back-loaded. It's a good balanced schedule for a team that I think if they can come together and play to their potential, they can make some noise.
I think Auburn has a couple of instances where some of the more favorable-looking home games on the schedule are right before big road challenges. And so it's like that's helpful. And so I mean, the fact that you play South Carolina at home right before going to Ole Miss and to Florida, the fact that you play Texas at home between going to Florida and to Tennessee, and the fact the one you just mentioned hosting LSU
right before you
go to Tuscaloosa, it's like, and those games,
and I believe they play. And look, no shade to these guys because I think they're going to be good again this year, but I think you play Vandy right after you play Alabama, right? The first, and so it's like it's a good spacing.
You've got Vandy at home in between Bama at home and at Arkansas.
Yeah. It's a really good balanced schedule. And you know what? Shout out to the SEC and ESPN. I don't like giving those entities a ton of credit all the time. They did a really good job of this schedule. If you look at it from a league wide perspective of loading up those Saturdays with the big games against the big teams, there are some decent midweek games on the schedule, but the best games for Auburn, the biggest opponents, the ones you are looking forward to the most, are all on Saturdays, and that's a good thing. That is a really, really good thing for this conference and for this and just for the sport in general.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss is a good midweek game. Vandy's a good,
and that's usually a Saturday game.
Vandy's a good midweek game. One of the Ole Miss games is a Saturday game, but the other one's midweek. And you know, Vandy, there are some quality games in there. But you're right; most of Auburn's biggest ones. You look at
Georgia, both of the Alabamas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas. Like that. That's what you want.
Auburn has a slate of can't miss Saturday games.
Oh, yeah.
Is what it seems like once you get into conference
play. I mean, is there a Saturday game on that list that just doesn't have a ton of juice to it?
I mean, working backwards from, like, you finish with Alabama. Before that's Ole Miss at home. Before that's Kentucky at home. Before that's at Arkansas. Before that's Alabama at home. Before that, it's at Tennessee. Before that, it's at Florida. Maybe South Carolina at home is probably the least buzzy.
South Carolina and Ole Miss at home are the two that aren't as big.
Yeah, I mean,
and then you start at Georgia.
Yeah, and you got Arkansas at home after that. I mean, maybe the South Carolina game is the one that is a little bit different on paper than the other ones, but that's still, and like we said, you play that one and then go to Oxford and Gainesville,
correct,
right after that. So it's a it's a draw where I think Auburn, look, you only have so many options in a league with these kind of teams, but it's about as, I mean, it's favorable in a lot of crucial ways. 334-321-1390. Love to hear from you. We'll take a break and wrap up hour number one. Dan Peck, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. This is The Drive.
The Drive on The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of hour number one here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Justin Ferguson getting ready. I mean, we are, well, I mean, 3 weeks from tomorrow. Hard to believe.
22 days.
3 weeks from tomorrow, Auburn and Baylor in Waco. College football season rapidly approaching. First day of classes for Auburn in just 10 days. The 18th, that will also be the first episode of Tiger Talk. We learned that from Andy Burcham earlier this week when he joined the show. That's on Wings 94.3. You can catch that one's going to be from like a special. Forget if he disclosed where it was going to be or not, but it's going to be from like a special like VIP edition. Oh, the one of the hotels, the Graduate. Maybe is, I think that's what he said, but it's going to be it's a VIP edition where the riffraff aren't allowed. And then a week later, on the 25th, you got the first one from Baumhauer's, and that one will be on game week. So you're not going to want to miss Tiger Talk getting geared up here in the next couple of weeks on Wings 94.3. Auburn High School football also coming really soon on Wings 94.3. Great that we got another year with Auburn and LSA on the family of radio stations.
Yep.
And that's, I mean, we are, I believe that is
15 is away.
Yeah, that's a week.
Well, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
It's a week before the Auburn Baylor game, and then Auburn's playing on Thursday the week of the Auburn Baylor game to avoid the scheduling conflict. So yeah,
that's not why, but yeah.
It helps.
That is not why they are playing that game on Thursday.
I would wonder though if they would want to, if there would be logistical issues of trying to play or just in general, I wonder if they've played Auburn.
Game's not here.
Yeah, I know, but that's still. I know they probably want to play two games of while the team is playing. I wonder if that's maybe it's coincidence that Auburn and that Friday night game just happens.
I know why that game's on Thursday night. They moved that game to Thursday night because it's on TV.
That's right. It is televised. Yeah,
it's PBS. APT's
that's right.
Covering it.
The APT game.
But yes, it did work out.
And it benefits. It's just an extra benefit that it's not during, because
that's not fun.
It would also make it difficult for us.
Really difficult for y'all.
We'd have to. I think maybe ESPN 106.7 would have to get called into action. But I don't know exactly what.
I don't think we're gonna have to worry about this.
Luckily, anymore. I don't. Yeah, luckily I don't have to worry about those. No. In general. But we got a lot of cool stuff happening here in the next couple of weeks, including a lot of sports coverage on Wings 94.3. So make sure you're tuning in on Wings to the
and just listen to the other stations. Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah.
W. Lee.
Well, and there's great music all the time. Yeah, W. Lee, I associate W. Lee with 80s pop. That's not the only thing they play.
I associate W. Lee with Painter Sharpless.
Okay, yeah. Sure. Absolutely. But it's I think like in general, like the stereo, yeah. the music is great on W. Lee. But I think if you tune over there, like I'm thinking you're going to hear like a Madonna song,
yep.
Or Invisible Touch by
heard a lot of Michael Jackson
Genesis,
on there before.
Michael Jackson, yeah. Phil Collins, is one of the kings. Hall & Oates. These guys are the kings of W. Lee, but they do a great job with the entire family of radio stations. And like I said, there's great music all the time, and then great sports coverage coming to yep. Wings 94.3 very, very soon with Tiger Talk sort of kickstarting all of that on August 18th. Love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Again, if there's a player or a position that you're curious about or concerned about, I'd love to hear a little bit more. I think that the red zone struggles today from the offense, if you want to call them red zone struggles, like that was I understand why some folks are connecting the dots between last season and some less than stellar results today, and wondering if that's something that could carry over. I think there's you still have a lot of different personnel, and you're talking about an offense that isn't really doing everything it can when you think about the quarterback scramble option. So I mean, I get that there's a lot to consider there, but Auburn has they have lofty goals this season. They have just a couple of weeks before that opener against Baylor, and that scrimmage tomorrow feels like it's going to be really important. When's the next time we hear? Do we know the next time we hear from Hugh Freeze? Probably. Monday or Tuesday. You know, next week maybe later. But it's. No, I would think that there's going to be a lot of interest in hearing about how the scrimmage went.
Sure.
Like that's something where, you know, whenever we hear from him again, it'll be interesting to know what he's willing to share about a scrimmage that's important in determining how you figure out where to go from here and with some of the some very serious position battles on the horizon. So we'll be back with more hour number two coming up. You are listening to the Thursday edition of The Drive.
Work production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in hour number two of The Drive. I had to fight the urge to do the announcer voice. We are back with hour number two. That voice you heard, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, hanging out with us. Bill Cameron joined the show in the first segment of hour number one. He's still,
I think, like the defensive tackle rotation. Yeah. Auburn once, he gave us 15 to 20 good plays.
That's exactly
and they had to go to the sideline.
Yeah, Bill gave us what he could, and we're not going to ask him. We're going to let him gas back up and maybe
opener in a key playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, should have Coach Don Dunn in here tomorrow, and Bill will be part of should join the show for at least a portion of tomorrow's broadcast. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline presented by Skybar. Justin has been at practice all week long, and I've been able to go to several of the viewing windows myself. And yeah, I think that it's been illuminating. It's been really interesting to see.
A ton of access.
Yeah, ton of access. Being able to watch.
And look, here's the thing, man. Like when I first started covering the team, you hardly got anything. You know, in terms of practice access, there are still places, and I think it's even more and more popular now, where you get nothing this preseason. Like nothing, yep. Zero, in terms of practice access. So I think Auburn fans, yes, it's been a tough stretch these last few years. Auburn's trying to focus on getting over that this year. But, like, if you want to learn as much as you can about this football team, like, we've gotten the tools to get it directly, not secondhand info, which is always good.
So if you were to if you were tasked with picking a couple of, like, you know, week one top performers or guys that had really, you know, the buzziest names out there in the first week, I think there are some strong candidates. Yep. Out there. You mentioned Jay Crawford, and that's
a great one.
Jay Crawford was someone I've relayed this before. But Jay Crawford is somebody who, more than I think other freshmen, like Cam Coleman, probably knew last season he was going to see the field a lot because of the state of that receiver room. Like, yes, there was Keandre Lambert-Smith, but, like, for the most part, Auburn was leaning on the youth at receiver, and those guys knew there were going to be opportunities. Jay Crawford was behind some pretty firmly entrenched defensive backs last season, and it didn't seem like there was going to be a ton of opportunity for Jay Crawford. Instead, you know, he's out there starting by week five, and I, you know, the thought that he's moved everything in the right direction, mm-hmm. since last season ended. It's a really important offseason. You know, your first offseason after getting on the field and earning playing time, and Jay Crawford has made the most of it. He's certainly, you know, one of the stories out there from Auburn's preseason camp. We'll talk more about some of the other guys that profile as the top performers so far. Love to hear from you, 334-321-1390, especially if there's a player or a position group you're curious about. Let's get to Yellowhammer, who's on the phone. What's up, Hammer?
Hey, afternoon. So, a couple days ago, you, Dan, were, I think you were expressing some sort of concern about the linebacker position, and I wondered if you'd characterize it as far as what? Talent, experience, depth, I mean, a little of each. So what do you think?
See, my thing about the linebacker position isn't so much concern about who they're going to have out there. I'm curious as to where it shakes out because I think they've probably got more people than realistic roles available. You know, I wonder how many can be in the rotation.
Inside linebacker?
Linebacker in general. Like, I wonder who's going to be,
who
you know, there's the potential for there to be odd men out just because of the number of players, potential contributors they have versus how many snaps you can probably divvy out to those guys.
I think they're going to need like four or five guys there. And right now I would say you got you've got a situation where you can rely on, hopefully, DeMarcus Riddick is healthy.
Yellow jersey, as you mentioned.
Xavier Atkins, Caleb Wheatland, Robert Woodyard Jr., and I think Bryce Diaz and Elijah Melendez have been really, really good here as freshmen here in preseason camp.
Freeze singled out Atkins and Diaz yesterday.
So I feel like if you can get four of those guys, good rest, maybe five. I don't know if all of them. And look, all of them may not be ready. But yes, there is more. I think the amount of guys who are getting balanced reps and good reps at inside linebacker here in preseason camp, I think that is one of the more positive developments of the preseason because that was a big question mark heading into camp.
I'll tell you what, that's a position that's such a physical grind.
Yes,
where I also wonder about, like, there are some spots in college football where you definitely want fifth-year, sixth-year seniors, right? Linebacker is a spot where a guy who's been through the fire like that, and look, and I all due respect to like Austin Keys and Eugene Asante and Mousy, who all helped out last year. Those guys had played a lot of college football going into last season, and that can be, you know, it can be tough to stay healthy when you're talking about that kind of mileage. And so for Auburn, you know, they've got some guys who are, and going with players who lack experience creates its own problem or its own set of problems too. But you can tell Hugh Freeze really seems to like the potential and what he's, you know, he likes to say guys flash, right? Some of the flashes you've seen from the new arrivals at linebacker, Atkins, Diaz, even Melendez.
Well, one other thing, you know a little bit about our first opponent and a lot about Auburn. So, but pretending you were on their team, how would you attack Auburn in that game?
Yeah, that's a great question, Yellowhammer. And I would say for Auburn, my top concern, I think, if I was going into it, if I were Baylor, is trying to put as much pressure on Jackson Arnold and this passing game as possible. Because I think if you let that passing attack get in a rhythm with the options that they have with Arnold being able to move, that's going to be the top, you know, that's going to be the thing that can worry you. And if you play really well and get that pressure and you kind of clog things up, make it even tougher for them to run the ball, I think that's a big question mark for them. But, yeah, I'm thinking Dave Aranda, Dan, his past as a defense coordinator, very inventive. He's very creative with his pass rushes and a lot of the packages he uses on that side of the ball. I think you want to throw the kitchen sink at this offense with a new quarterback, with some new pieces on the offensive line, and gum things up, make it even tougher for them to run the ball, and keep the ball out of it, like make it as tough as possible to keep it out of the hands of Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton, and those guys. Because I think it's a lot, if you try to drop back and cover those guys, especially with the one-on-one game, like it's going to be tough. I think you want chaos, you want confusion, you want, you know, people to be disarmed at the line of scrimmage on the defensive side. On the offensive side, if I'm looking at this game for Baylor, I think
does your offensive game plan change that much, or are you still thinking Sawyer's got to, Like, you know, Sawyer's got to get the ball out of his hands, and it's got to be you're going to run your sideline to sideline stuff. But we've seen Spavital offenses in the past.
Stretch the field. I think the question for me is going
loves a wide receiver screen.
Sure. Like, yeah.
I mean, I remember the game.
It's a veer and shoot. It's off the browse tree.
Cal played a game. He was Cal's offensive coordinator 2 years ago when Auburn played them, and they played a game right before Auburn, the opener, North Texas maybe.
Yeah.
And they destroyed that team with screens.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, I mean, they
and my thing is that, you know, for Baylor, what I would do if I'm looking at Auburn coming in this season, I look at the changes they've had to make and the new guys they have at defensive tackle and inside linebacker. And I look at it, and they've got, you know, the Washington kid's coming back for them. He was a really good running back for Baylor last season. So, Dan, my thought process, if I'm Baylor coming into it, if we can establish a good inside running game and play off of that, it changes so much. Let's hit Auburn where they're the most inexperienced, which is defensive tackle and inside linebacker. See if those new pieces can hold up. And if they can't, they're going to have to commit more manpower to the box, which is going to open things up on the outside, would spread it out, and like kind of spread and shred type of approach to an, what I think is going to be a really good Auburn secondary. But, so I think a lot of it's, you know, it's a line of scrimmage game. I think Baylor's defense is going to have to cause havoc against Auburn's offense. That's going to be a good that's going to be one of their attack plans. And on the other side, I think if Baylor can get a good downhill running game going, which is what they want to do, it just opens up the space even more for that passing attack.
And it just seems to me like, especially early, backing off and taking a read and react approach to Auburn's offense would be disastrous, right? Like letting Auburn, like it's about throwing off Jackson Arnold's timing. It's about pressuring Jackson Arnold into mistakes. It's about proving that Auburn can run against favorable looks, because a team is going to be really focused on the receivers. And if Auburn, you know, if Baylor can win those matchups, if Baylor can keep Auburn to a subpar average on the ground, and if Baylor can, you know, crank up, you know, they can, you know, the number of Jackson Arnold mistakes probably increases the chances of a Baylor victory. And so if they can, you know, if they can keep Jackson Arnold from being able to play his game, it seems like that would really give Baylor opportunities. You know, I wonder how much their offensive approach is going to change game to game, just because they do what they do well. But you're right; you probably would want to, especially with the new blood on the defensive line. You probably want to make sure.
I'm just thinking defensive line, inside linebacker, hit them. Try to hit them and see if you can play off of that.
Make sure those guys.
Great question, though, Yellowhammer.
All right, for you.
Good stuff.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. That is the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Again, love to hear if there's a position or a player you're curious about. Good questions there.
Those are two really good questions.
From Yellowhammer. We'll be back with more. You are listening to the Thursday edition of The Drive. Stick around.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan
67 online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Really cool stuff happening with the Auburn Observer right now. A lot of coverage of practice this week, and you know, I would think that
new podcast up in the morning.
You know, it occurred to me during the commercial break. Generally speaking, don't we talk to the coordinators and the assistant
sometime
coaches?
Soon,
I mean, that could be happening in the next week or two as well. We could get some access with some of the Auburn coaches that you really don't talk to very much, aside from those limited media windows. I would think that could even be on the menu for next week. So, yeah, really appreciate the access so far, and hopefully we'll get more of it as tomorrow marks 3 weeks until Auburn and Baylor in the 2025 season opener. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Player or position group you're curious about? You know, we can try to tell you what we know as we get to the phones. And Bill is hanging on. What's up, bud?
Hi, guys. Since you guys get to go to practice and see a little bit anyway, who do you think is going to just, you know, right off the top of your head, who do you think is going to start from left to right, tackle, guard? I know who's going to start center. What do you think?
Yeah. So Auburn's had a pretty consistent first-team offensive line in camp so far. Xavier Chaplin, the Virginia Tech transfer at left tackle. Dylan Wade at left guard. They like keeping him inside compared to playing him at tackle. Connor Liu, as you mentioned, at center. Jeremiah Wright back at right guard. And then Mason Murphy, the transfer from USC, has been the right tackle. And that would be my pick for the starting five against Baylor. And they have Tutal Miller as kind of a six-man option who could play both tackle spots and has played some guard here in preseason camp as well. But I think that's the – you know, Freeze said that's the six that they rely on the most. They're trying to find out who seventh or eighth is going to be. But that five has been very consistent throughout preseason.
Yeah, and that's in contrast, Bill, to the first 2 years and especially last year. When the first year Hugh Freeze was here, the offensive line was figuring out, like, you had Wade and Britton, who had both come in at tackle, but you also had Tutal, who they realized early on could push for playing time, and Dylan Wade was going to, you know, you had three tackles for two spots. Last year, you had Percy Lewis, who I think early on it was clear wasn't, like all offseason you'd written Percy Lewis's name in ink as the starting left tackle, and you were looking for some whiteout within a day or two to figure out what you were going to do with the depth chart instead. I mean, you were seeing Tyler Johnson running with the ones, you know, the first day or two.
And like you're saying, Dan, in contrast, they have been very consistent with this group, which it is a good sign. But, yeah, that's probably – Bill, that's probably the five you were likely going to see for the Baylor game.
Yeah, and I would think the next guy in is probably Tutal.
Yep.
And it could be at tackle, could be at guard, you know, depending on who else is out there.
Yep.
That's kind of what I thought. I know that the young guy from California, I hope he gets a chance to play, because I'll keep him around, because I think he'd be a solid player next year.
That's a great point. I would imagine he's in the mix to be that seventh or eighth guy, probably. They really like he is consistently with the second team right now.
Right now, I would think that if something happened to Connor Liu during the Baylor game, they would slide Dylan Wade over, although that was, you know, today didn't seem to be his best day practicing at the center position. Dylan Senda's gotten some buzz the last week or so. There was a question about Dylan Senda at the press conference earlier this week.
But to Bill's point, though, DeAndre Carter, I think, he's trending definitely in the right direction.
Carter, and you've heard some Ty Buster this
not
this
as much in the not as much in camp.
You're right. It was more in the spring than now.
But you're right. Yeah, you want to for a guy like Carter, a very talented dude from far away. Yeah, you'd want to give him an opportunity as early as he's ready, because you want to keep him around. He's a very talented player.
I would think he's talking about Ellis too. Like, you know, Ellis is a guy where it's like he's somebody who I think maybe during the season he could play his way into that number two center role, where I wouldn't be all that shocked if they thought in a couple of weeks. Kyle Ellis is a real option.
Yeah, and that's not what I thought. I like to keep that kid around from California, because I think he's going to be a real good player. But Percy Lewis, you mentioned Percy Lewis, and, you know, I usually don't criticize college players, but since they're getting paid now, now I can. And that son of a gun couldn't block a biscuit last year.
Well, it's interesting. It's you know, he struggled last season. He's at Ole Miss now, and I find that really fascinating to see what that looks like.
How do you get that gig?
You know, you're not the only one asking that question, Bill.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great questions, Bill. Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff from Bill there. 334-321-1390, the number to dial.
You were mentioning the Dylan Wade thing. He was snapping today, and they were all consistently low. And, you know, it's something you got to work on.
Yeah,
those shotgun snaps. So I wonder how that's going to work out.
And that's not –
Cale Ellis looks good, though.
Cale Ellis, people were saying, is I mean, it's a matter – look, playing – on the offensive line or playing at the line of scrimmage as a true freshman is a challenge, even though Auburn's got some guys who are going to be true freshmen on the line of scrimmage.
And what's the thing about Cale Ellis, Dan? He's another kid like Omar Mapton who reclassified.
Yep.
He should still be in high school right now.
And was he here in the spring?
Nope.
Yeah, he's another one of the arrivals. Like, there's only a handful of guys, you know, that are out there that
it's like
weren't.
The Smith twins and Omar and K
Cale Ellis.
And you have some guys who joined the team, like, I mean, like Matthews, like,
would be.
You know, like, yeah.
But of the high school guys.
Yeah, the post, yeah, the post spring additions. But, like, no, it's a select list. But
by the way, he didn't get a ton of yardage on his opportunities today, but when you watch Omar run full contact, it was just good. I mean, it is sledgehammers going up against each other.
We say, and that's something I've changed my mind about in the last 2 weeks or so, is that when we say you don't know what the Auburn running game is going to look like against Baylor, and you don't even know how many players are going to be in the rotation, I mean, I think that that number could be 4 or even 5 as far as the possibilities. And I mean, it's easier to, you know, to say that the starters, that the upperclassmen are going to get the bulk of the opportunities. But I mean, Omar has flashed, and Alvin Henderson has steadily improved too, according to reports. And so, like, that's and they're willing to throw to all 5 of them. So it's not like it's, oh, you've got a clear third down back or a clear pass-catching threat. So it's, again, great to see Alston and Cobb healthy again. But it's, you know, that feels wide open as we start the second week of preseason practice. 334-321-1390. Let's get to Grant, who's on the phone. What's up, Grant?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing all right.
Kick returners and punt returners, who's getting the most reps in those practices?
We've seen more punt return than we've seen kick return. Punt returner Eric Singleton has gotten the majority of their reps. We have seen Malcolm Simmons out there at punt returner as well. He played that role last season.
A little bit of Bryce, right?
Bryce Kane, yeah. Little Duke Smith.
Little Duke Smith.
Little bit of Perry Thompson as well. But I would say Singleton and Simmons are the ones you're seeing the most at punt returner. Kick returner, haven't seen it as much, so this is kind of a little bit more open.
We're speculating here.
Jeremiah Cobb played that position a ton last year.
Pleasant.
And has been there. And then Rayshon Pleasant, from transfer from Tulane, was an All-American kick returner last year. I think if he's fully healthy, he could probably be the guy to beat there.
And I believe that Singleton and Simmons could also be weapons in the kick return game if they wanted to go that route. Both of those guys feel like...
I also like Bryce Kane in the kick return game. Straight line speed.
And I would add to that, because we've already named, you know, over a half dozen guys, but I think you have multiple true freshman defensive backs that profile as special teams threats in their careers. Bobble Woodby was an excellent kick returner out of high school. I believe Newboy had some kick return bona fides.
To answer Grant's question, like, most specifically, I would say Singleton and Simmons at punt returner, Cobb Pleasant at kick returner are the ones you're hearing and seeing the most. I want to know a little bit more about kick returner, though. We just haven't seen a ton of it.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, great stuff, Grant. Yeah, because
it's a great question. Hey, you want to talk special teams real quick?
Special teams.
We saw a decent bit of special teams today. Alex McPherson and Towns Magoo both hitting some long kicks and some whistle kicks, which were good. I think both of those guys were perfect on their opportunities that we saw today.
There's a question about Mac at the press conference yesterday, right? You freeze question.
So here's the thing with Alex McPherson. I want everybody to kind of just remember really quick. Alex McPherson had ulcerative colitis. Alex McPherson has multiple organs in his body that are no longer there anymore. Like had to have them removed. That's how strenuous and serious his battle was last season. And so he is adjusting to life very differently because of it. Crazy thing is that in the 70s, there was a kicker who became an all-pro kicker for the Chargers way back in the day, Dan, that had the same thing happen to him as Alex McPherson, had that ulcerative colitis. What this means for Alex McPherson, his weight's back up. His power's getting back to where it was. Remember, he lost a ton of weight during this battle last year. The thing with Alex McPherson, I want people to make sure, there may be some days at practice or maybe some days in the preseason or leading up where you hear, hey, Alex McPherson wasn't practicing today or wasn't kicking out there today. They have to be very careful with him. They have to go with the doctors, because this isn't like, you know, Alex McPherson has an ankle injury or like there's something. It's not a physical like football injury that you can say, hey, there's a normal recovery time. Here's what this is something that could flare up every now and then, and you just got to be ready. And so that's why I think Auburn has multiple kicker options behind him that they're working. Towns Magoo, who we mentioned earlier, Connor Gibbs, the Southern Miss transfer. But I would say McPherson has looked good. I think his accuracy is as good as it's been. in the pass for him, getting that power built back up. But, yeah, I would just say, like, if you see a practice report or watch a video or something from practice and you're like, where's Alex McPherson? You know, cause don't panic. They have to be very careful with him because this is just – this is unprecedented, man. Like, this is like for – like as I was saying, that all-pro kicker back in the day had this, but, like, you never have to really worry about, like, hey – We have a player who has something like potentially debilitating that can flare up like this, and so you just got to be smart with it.
And you want to prioritize you want your guys prioritizing football, but within reason, right? And so it's also like, you know, get yourself back to where you can have a healthy, somewhat normal life, and then start focusing on your sport and your craft again. And it sounds like Alex is back to the, I mean, again, without knowing the intimate medical details, like, sounds like Alex is back to being able to focus on becoming a better football player, and that's huge for him, because that was not a big chunk of last season. Like, it wasn't about, oh, he's got to get back to kicking 50-yard field goals. It was, he needs to get back to where he can, you know, he can nourish himself without concern. So yeah, it's great to hear that the buzz is positive. And look, good to see one go in for Towns, right? Like, that's a guy, like, do not close the book on Towns Magoo as a college kicker, even if last season did not go as planned. You know, I would still think he's probably your kickoff guy, and Alex can be your primary place kicker. But it's that's. I mean, Auburn, you know, one of the goals is to be much better on special teams this year, and they seemingly have the kind of players that can do it. 334-321-1390. Some good calls. There are questions about the about where folks stand on the depth chart. Love to hear from you. If you've got a question about the the personnel or anything that we've seen at practice over the last week, 334-321-1390. It's the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Dan Peck in the studio with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer and Drew at the controls. We'll be back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final half hour or so of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Justin, you mentioned that it's been an exciting time for the Observer these last couple of weeks as you've been covering spring practice, or I'm sorry, preseason practice, and yeah, tell folks how they can find the work you're doing with the Observer.
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. Check it out there. $4 a month or $40 a year. It's a 33% off discount for your first year of the Observer. You can subscribe between now and the end of camp, the preseason. All of preseason, we'll have it there. And, yeah, I mean, we've got, Dan, I'm thinking, I'm starting to add it up in my head, probably like over 10,000 words just this week alone of practice observations, notes, what we've seen from Auburn football, and then a couple podcasts, which one of them will come out tomorrow morning. You and I talking Auburn football preseason camp, talking Auburn basketball's SEC schedule, and all that good stuff, auburnobserver.com.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. You want to jump in here with the last few segments here on Thursday to ask some questions. Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. And let's get to the phones, and Mitch is hanging on. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, guys. Well, I had to call because I've got a feel for is it Alex McPherson?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because I have the other type of inflammatory bowel disease. I have Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine. The battles that I know that people with that and what Alex has are, it's just insane stuff.
Yeah, it's I had some battles early in it. I was diagnosed in 1999 after I got back from Korea.
Oh, wow.
And had a few surgeries. Lost a lot of weight one time. I looked like a concentration camp victim. But my wife's a nurse, and she got me on Humira, and I have not had a Crohn's flare since 2011.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the players I had, I mean, when I was on active duty and at Fort Bragg and had to go to Womack, I mean, one time I got down, I was hurting so bad, I got down on my knees and my wife, I mean, I almost broke her hand. It's not fun. Inflammatory bowel disease is not fun. It's some excruciating pain when you have flare, especially in your gut.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real bad. So I'm glad you, I was curious, you know, what he was battling.
Yeah.
And now I know.
Yeah, ulcerative colitis, yeah. And I believe part of his intestine is out.
Yeah,
and
they went surgical on.
Well, and here's the thing, Mitch, you would know, you're talking about losing all that weight. Like, for a guy who's a high level athlete like this, I know Alex McPherson was never a big kid to begin with, but the amount of power you have to put in behind the kicks that you have, and then you lose. See, like, we saw him walking through the facility at one point last fall, and it was just like he looked like a completely different person because of how much weight he had lost. So yeah, I mean, you would know as well as anybody just what that can do to your body.
And there's strain on the core when you think about what a kicker is trying to do. Like it's already like there's already enough pressure and torque on the abdominal muscles, and then to factor in surgery and the fact that you're trying to regain your strength. Like no, it's I mean, if the Alex McPherson story ends with him as a great kicker again, it'll be remarkable.
Oh, beyond
because of the depths of his you know, the seriousness of his health problem.
Right, and him being as young as he is, and like you know, I was diagnosed at 29 years old. I'm assuming about 2021.
Yeah.
So. He's got you know time to build all that up and everything being as young as he is and I don't know about like what I'm taking for mine but hopefully I'm sure my wife could tell me but hopefully there's something he can get on that will you know keep him flareless if that's a word with this like the Humira is done with me but yeah just wanted to bring that up. Because
it's just the stories I heard from you know Alex and people around Alex from last season were just sounded just absolutely excruciating. You're right, it sounds like they have found something with both the surgeries and the medicines he's taking to make it so that he hasn't had as many problems here this year, but yeah, it's something that you just I mean, you know, you just got to keep an eye on it, even if you're doing really, really well, and that's especially for a high-level athlete, he's going to be asked to do a lot.
Yeah. Well, I wish him well, and thanks for bringing that to light, guys. Yeah. War Eagle, we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Mitch.
Great stuff, Mitch. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. And let's get to Tommy, who's hanging on. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, you doing well. How are y'all?
Doing well.
A couple of random things. I went by Duck Sanford the other day, and they pulled up the turf. Are they going to replace the turf, or is it going to be a natural grass?
They are replacing the turf. It is going to back turf. They're putting turf back down. They're just in the process of, renewing it. Is the best way I can think of it. But yes, it'll be a turf field again. And they're pushing up against the clock to get everything ready for the start of the season.
Just the thought of upkeep on natural grass, I think makes it tough to.
As much as I think everybody would love it to be that. They're replacing the turf down there.
Also, just your opinion, I've been watching on Netflix the Any Given Saturday. I don't know if y'all had a chance to look at that.
I watched a bit of the preview that they did. You watch the thing at Media Days?
I skipped it.
Yeah, I
watched a little bit. We had the chance to watch.
I've heard great things. Yeah. I've got several friends of mine who are in the show. I have not gotten a chance to see it yet, but I've heard really good things about it.
We're not in it, so we're boycotting it. No. That's actually how would we know if we're in it if we don't
it. What's your take on it so far, Tommy?
I wasn't that impressed. I mean, it just kind of drags out. I was hoping for more. Maybe it'll get better. I've only watched two or three episodes, but I was hoping it'd be, I guess, more behind the scenes. But it seems like a lot of
the
drama.
Amount of access. It's interesting that you say that. The amount of access these teams are willing to give and what they're willing to show and what that goes through the editing process has got to be.
I don't know, tough. Like, Dan, this week Hard Knocks started their new ones, and I heard the reviews of the first episode of the Bills were very negative. It's just like nothing's really happening, yeah. And I wonder if teams are just a lot less willing to, like you said, Tommy, like just go further beyond the scenes.
Yeah, I wonder if you've got, you know, now that these are billion-dollar brands, right, if folks are more careful and more guarded about what's going to happen in front of the cameras, and if the cameras get something, you got images to care about. I know that the Hugh Freeze moment that's been generating some buzz is the text message from Asante, like from last year, reading the message he got from Eugene about because Hugh Freeze apologized to the players for not being able to experience the best. You know the best time of Auburn football, or the success that's coming down the line. And Eugene Asante talked about how the sacrifices will be worth it if it's part of building something in the future, and what that said about that young man. And it's totally part of, like, on brand for Eugene to offer that kind of sentiment as part of his football career. But it's I remember that being a really really powerful moment from last year, and the Netflix cameras got a little bit more of that context, but no, I have not been watching the SEC miniseries on Netflix, and I've heard some good things, and like Justin, yeah, I know some folks who are in it, but I have not checked it out.
But one other thing, Justin, I had lunch with your dad down in Greenville a few weeks ago.
Hey,
interim down there at the church, so Bates House of Turkey, so I got to have lunch with him with my family, and nice guy. He's doing a good job for him.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll pass along that message. And yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Very, very small world. And yeah, Dan. A
couple of our favorite things get mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bates House of Turkey.
Thanks for sharing that with me, Tom. I'm actually about to go see my dad here in a little bit, so I'll pass that along. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it, Tommy. 334-321-1390.
Bates House of Turkey.
Bates House of
Let's
Turkey.
Let's go.
Getting name checked here. Greenville's finest, right off the, right next to the Sonic in the on the.
You know, you get
that
stretch. You know,
they have one in Montgomery too now, right?
Yeah, they do have one in Montgomery. That stretch though, you get the Bates House of Turkey, Dan, and you're not too far from the Conecuh store if you keep going down the interstate. Like, it's underrated.
If you want to get really dangerous, you could stop for cake in Andalusia, right?
You have to get really dangerous there. You have to go off. You have to go off away.
Deans.
You
got to turn. Yeah. You got to turn to the McDonald's and go to Deans.
Oh, come on, brother. I know that.
You know about it.
And then there's
that McDonald's. Was.
There's a barbecue place and a gas station in Pineapple that, like, absolutely rules, on that stretch.
That Andalusia McDonald's was such a frequent stop for me between Auburn and Destin.
Yeah.
So that Andalusia McDonald's I know, you know,
very well,
intimately. And the Dean's, the cake shop is just...
You know, that growing up, that was the closest McDonald's to me. And it was 20 minutes from my house.
Is there an Arby's across the street?
Yep.
Been to the McDonald's, been to Arby's.
Down there. Yep.
That was a, like, a sensible stop.
Yes.
Between Auburn and Destin.
You know, you grew up and spent a lot of time.
I didn't want to go all the way to Danny's Fried Chicken if I didn't want to hold it all the way to Danny's.
Well, yeah, it's the thing. It's like you grew up, like, close to the beach.
Yep.
And as someone who grew up on the, like, we were down there, we were, you know, you passed us on the way to the beach. Like, it is a very interesting, like, two different types of experience, because, like, if I ever bring up my old hometown, it's just like, oh yeah, I drove through there on the way to the beach. It's like, that's really the only reason you'd ever go through there.
No, it was.
But shout out to Dean's Cake House, man.
Shout out to
the
Dean's,
caramel,
man.
The caramel layer cake, dog.
Seven layers, man. You can find it in the area. I know, there's multiple.
They used to have the little house right there by the gas station. Like a chevron
just,
right there.
Just the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. We will take a break and come back with more. That is the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. Again, if you missed any of the show, podcasts of The Drive presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts, go to ESPNAU.com, use the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. We'll be back with more. Final segment coming up on the Thursday edition of The Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of the show. Dan Peck in the studio.
Hey,
with Drew at the controls and Justin Ferguson.
That's me. Sorry, I was stepping on that.
What you got, Justin?
I said we only have a few minutes left.
Yeah.
And Dan, I wanted to wrap up this show with a question.
Okay.
You.
Yeah. Lay it on me.
I'm going to wrap up the show the way Auburn football wrapped up practice today, and they brought the snow cone truck out.
Yeah, that's true.
And one of the questions we asked a couple of players today is like, what flavor are you getting?
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those where it's like you make your own. You know what I'm talking about?
Interesting.
I don't want to give the brand name on
like
here.
Like a two or three. Yeah. No. Yeah. And we've shouted out snow cone companies in the past. I was loyal. I was a Hawaiian Shave Ice loyalist growing
like
up.
Like Snowbiz?
Right? Yeah. Snowbiz and your various Snowbiz knockoffs. I don't know if we still have a. The Snowbiz on South College would be the one if it's still functional. I don't even know if we still have it.
You got the I used to go. I've turned you on to Pelicans.
I used to go to the one over by the Sudson Cinema.
That one's a good one.
For Walton Beach, that Snowbiz. Yeah, Drew knows exactly what I'm talking about. The Snowbiz Shack over there is really by the Mystery Publix, right when you cross the bridge. From Okaloosa Island into Fort Walton
Beach. My thing, Drew, about that Publix is it feels like you have to jump off the ramp to get it. Otherwise, you're just gone forever.
The Temple Mound Museum is also over there. This is very specific for Walton Beach geography.
So I was saying, Chris Murray, the defensive end, he got Tigers blood.
Okay,
and I was like, you know, it's pretty fitting. Like pretty fitting for this.
You know, I'm surprised.
Perry Thompson went with a blueberry green apple combo. Which is, he said, was really sour.
Interesting. Yeah, I could green apple. I'll tell you what, green apple flavored stuff has never been my first choice, and I think in general it's because they really crank up the sour and the tart. You know, it really gives you a little pucker.
My question is if you get the and we'll just say the basic flavors.
I mean, here's my thing.
Where are we going with?
Is that I'm not gonna differentiate between the reds. So like if we're talking
like a cherry and a strawberry
or a watermelon,
all like, taste the same.
Yeah, I feel like a cherry or a strawberry or a watermelon are all going to be pretty good options in this case.
My favorite combo.
I'll take a grape.
I'll tell you. My favorite way to do it is, and a lot of snow cone places will have it, is a strawberry and peach combo.
Okay,
like that's my go to.
You're a big fan of mango flavored stuff.
Love mango stuff.
You know, Justin Ferguson loves a mango flavoring. I'll tell you, it's very 90s. You know what I'm about to say?
Blue raspberry
is like a one that you go, which is made up too, right?
Yes.
There are not blue.
They were like, we need a raspberry flavor because it's sour, but like regular raspberries look too much like all the other things we just mentioned.
Yes.
Like cherry
and blue flavor. You know,
there's no blue fruit.
Yes,
except for blueberries.
Blueberry, but blue raspberry and blueberry, you know, decidedly different types of flavors. So
tastes very different.
Yeah. I always credit the blue raspberry blow pop with igniting the blue raspberry phenomenon.
Like that, and
I don't know if I can I don't know if there's a science behind this, but
do you remember? And I don't know if they still make it, but like there was a stretch like in the early
yogurt
2000s. Okay. Like the sour Starburst.
Yeah.
They had a blue raspberry, one of those that would just like just knock your teeth out.
Yeah. So I think that
blue raspberry warhead. Also.
Yeah, blue raspberry warheads should have never been like that is
that is crime.
That's a controlled substance. Like that should not be like you should have to be 21.
That's like my take. It's similar with the sour and the strength. It's like Takis. You ever had Takis? My take is that a Taki like a Taki tastes like what I would imagine if you could bite into a AAA battery. Like that's what it tastes like to me.
Sam's Club used to sell warheads in a quantity that would do permanent damage to your mouth if you actually.
It's like
tried
concession stands. Yeah.
Like they used to sell the concession stand pack of warheads. God. And it would. I saw a guy on a flight once who, like, in his bag had the monster.
What is wrong with you?
So, yeah. But
his
anyway,
mouth is just numb.
Yeah. He's
He imploded during the flight and just vanished.
Cow. Into a, are you kidding me?
He went into the bathroom and never came back.
Because it's like at least like the whole point with like Sour Patch Kids are like, oh, they get sweet at some point.
No,
and Warheads are like, what if it just killed you forever?
What if we had a candy that we used to get information out of you?
Yeah, it's just back to the snow cones. You know, the snow cone places will have the sour spray.
Sure,
or I'm pretty sure it's just acid. It's like the thing you spray at your cat to get him to stop doing something.
Yeah, it's
like
the thing that turned Jack Nicholson into the Joker in Batman 89, and that's, you know, they spray that on top of the snow cones. But no, but blue raspberry I still think is like, oh, sure, it's a snow cone flavor, you know.
And
if you
blue raspberry can work, and the sour ones can work if you counter it with a very sweet thing. Like you have the blend, the back and forth.
Didn't want to, didn't want to name check Pelicans too much, but I will say the strawberry and pink lemonade options are excellent at Pelicans. And they have some good cherry stuff too.
They're a cream guy too.
And you add a little bit of cream to offset the sweetness.
Did I ever show you the snow cone I had that Mary Kate and I had in Maui?
I believe you did. I'll react to that live on the air. Should have done in the studio tomorrow. Oh, that's the real stuff.
Right, and it's one of the ones that has the ice cream in the middle.
Yeah, that's the one with the real sweet cream in the middle.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff.
Anyway,
done in
good
the
way stu- to good way to wrap up practice too.
Yeah,
like dudes were fired up. And there is a video circulating of me of people talking to Ashton Daniels, and I may or may not be dancing to the music in the background from the snow cone truck because it was way too loud for us to try to deal with it, dancing a little bit
with the truck. So yeah, big shout out to our thanks again, Justin, for coming in.
AuburnObserver.com, $4 a month or $40 a year for the next few weeks. Sign up.
You will not be sorry. Justin's been covering practice extensively. We got a podcast coming tomorrow. More preseason practice coming, including, as I mentioned earlier, we should get to talk with the coordinators and the other assistant coaches, and that should be coming in the next few weeks as Auburn gets ready. I would think that's a pre-game week sort of deal. So either first week of classes or next week, I would expect Auburn to make some assistant coaches available to talk to the media as well. So that should be interesting, and it's been a lot of fun through the first week or so. Hope you guys enjoyed today's program. Check out the podcast, ESPNAU.com, or wherever you get your podcast. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. As Justin mentioned, AuburnObserver.com is where you can find all of his outstanding work. Maybe Bill Cameron tomorrow for some of the show as he recuperates. Coach Don Dunn should be in the studio with me, Drew at the controls. We will talk to you tomorrow. For everyone who participated on today's show, this is Dan Peck signing off. Good night.